What's up, everyone? This is Prezik Star Podcast, and this is episode 9 of season 5. We here at PressX seek to transform the video game landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, and bring restorative justice to the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishniggaworld, California, aka the janitor because of Bewashniggas, aka the holder of Next Generation Pipe, aka after this weekend, I am DK, aka the Drift King, and I will get into that later when we're talking about what we've been playing.
Oh, all right.
Drift King. Okay. Awesome.
I am DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka the proud father of the second child before the first child, my PS5. It's a little fat, but I'm okay with that. AKA, did you know?
What?
Press X is officially next motherfucking generation.
Let's go! Woo! The whole gang.
And Jordan, AKA JXBot, and AKA the proud owner of two beautiful, lovely children. And I love them each, but for very specific and honest reasons. So both the Series X and the PlayStation 5. Don't worry, they behave themselves so far. There's no animosity between them, but I think the Series X is somewhat anxious about how much space the PS5 is taking on my TV display, which is fairly large, to be honest. It is huge.
The Series X is yelling at the PlayStation, talking about you're a colonizer.
The PS5 hit a growth spurt way before Series X did. They got the same mama but different fathers.
Yeah, no, it's big. I mean, yeah, comparatively wise, like next to each other, even, and both of them are not standing up because I'm just very anxious at a time when someone just gently touches it and knocks it over when it's standing up vertically. And this anxiety exists with both consoles. Both are being laid on horizontally for safety reasons. Come on now.
I mean, you're going to have to send PS5 to the league. We're going to have to send that nigga to the NBA because put that boy in the dunk contest.
It's so big. Like,
yeah,
I literally, box. Well, I guess we're having our PS5 talk now, so that's just what's happening. But
that's fine.
I got the PS5. I set it up. I stood it up. I was just like, all right, I got to figure out how I'm going to put this in my entertainment system. And then fast forward to about 15 minutes of me just completely being that the white lady meme doing math in her head. All possible solutions lead to, like, it's not going to work. So at this point, I just have my entertainment set up. Mm-hmm. There.
Your bookcase.
Yeah, my bookcase. My bookcase on the side, yes.
So the TV setup that DJ has is the exact same bookcase I plan on ordering for myself. Mm-hmm. It's literally the same model from IKEA.
Hey, so it's a quality bookcase.
It's a quality bookcase.
But I just have my PS5 just in front of it.
Got you.
On the ground in front of
On the ground, yes. Oh. Yes. But with the base, though, so it's there. It's
Nah, the way that my, I guess, entertainment center is set up, I was fortunately able to just set it upright next to my TV. Nice. And so it sits there pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is, too. So like I'm sorry, my bad.
No, I was just gonna, I have to get buy-in from the wife, that's all.
Well, I'm single, so I got buy-in for myself. So, like, mine is a proper TV display, which is, I think it's 23 in terms of width, 75 in terms of length, and the height, you know, the height isn't too bad. Height's about 2 feet, a little bit over 2 feet tall itself. Mm-hmm. So, like, setting the PS5 on top of it, I'm setting it horizontally. So in terms of the amount of area that it's taking up, I would say it's about a sixth or seventh of the whole display. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A fourth of it.
Jesus.
But laying inside of it, like from the back of the display, you probably have a clearance of 2.5 inches. The front of the display, a clearance of 2.5 inches. It is just, it makes itself known.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I made sure to use that, the display thing that comes with it
to lay it down. Yeah.
And it's a pretty nifty device, but the TV above it, like my TV's wall, and even if I set it up vertically, it'd still be overlapping with the sound bar.
Right.
So I was like, ah, fuck that. No, thank you.
Would you say that your PS5 is manspreading?
The PS5 is letting itself be known. And I mean, like, it's interesting to see the, like, you know, when it comes to design, you know, Donald, you're a design person, but what type of statement was Sony trying to make with their product versus Xbox? It's clearly Xbox with the minimalism route, while Sony went the more contemporary, for lack of a better term,
alien monolith,
eccentric, eccentric route. So this is the PS5, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right with that. It's so funny to see the evolution of, like, the first Xbox to the Series X versus PlayStation to now, where, like, even actually, I would even say to go from the PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 and the Xbox One to the Xbox Series X, because if you, like,
it's like they switched places.
Yeah.
Like with the Xbox 360,
would have
like the same type of ontology to it. The Xbox 360 had a curvaceous, it was white and also curvaceous, so
yeah.
What's going on here?
You know, they like their white curvy thing.
Well, I mean, like, that being a design choice for electronics.
I blame the blacks at Xbox.
Blacks at Xbox is a great organization, sir.
And also, they were like, hey, look, y'all had a 360. It's our fucking turn.
Well, like, hell, I don't even think blacks at Xbox was a thing during 360.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I'm just talking about black men liking curvy white women.
The new phenomenon, like white women with ass.
Well, I mean, like, now, I think the most prominent figure of the quote-unquote blacks at Xbox is the vice president, who's a black woman.
I believe her name is Sarah Bond.
Sarah Bond.
We'll be talking about her later on.
Oh, yeah, we will.
But, okay, well, now that we've kind of talked about our setups with our PS5, what do you guys think of the implementation of the PS5? What was your respective experiences with getting your hands on it and actually playing things on it?
DJ, you go. Mine's is longer.
Okay. So, so I will say that when I set up the PS5, that was smooth. I really liked their, like, two-factor authentication. I thought that was cool. Like, they give you, like, a couple codes, and I was like, oh, this is... Good job, Sony. Good job.
Yeah.
Playing the game now, the first game I played was Genshin Impact. And I didn't even really play it because I totally forgot how to play the game. I literally just wanted to see what it looked like moving around. And
how did it look?
Great. I will be going back to that game and figuring out how to play that game again. And
Genshin Impact?
Figuring out like what all the things do, because they've added so much stuff to it. I'm just like, I don't think that was there the first time I played.
Oh, yeah. They've updated that game a lot since we stopped playing it.
Yeah. Second game I played was motherfucking Gundam, because you know I had to make sure Gundam was working properly. And
I mean, how much space does Gundam take? Like 2 gigabytes or like Gundam, 100 megabytes?
180 kilobytes.
thank you very much. It's actually like 17 or 8. No, it's like 27 gigabytes.
Even on your phone.
So it's a full-fledged game.
For what, the pixels?
Yes, all the pixels. Anyway,
it was a waste of time
playing Gundam. I was telling Jordan earlier, because we tried to do Destruction All-Stars and that didn't happen.
Still a good game though.
But playing Gundam in 60 FPS was amazing. Like, it was a thing where, because yesterday I was playing it on my PS4, like, I felt like I had more control over my mobile suit, and I was hitting shots a lot easier and smoother than I was on the PS4 version. And I'm just like, this is literally an example of, like, when people talk about playing Overwatch in 30 versus playing in 60, like, It makes a huge difference.
That's what I was going to say. I'm in agreement with you on, you know, when I played, because Overwatch was the first, no, Destruction All-Stars was the first game that I tried out on PS5.
Yeah.
But Overwatch was the first game that I, like, played. And the game feels the same, but like you said, it's more smooth.
Right.
I felt faster as Lucio. I felt like I was able to line up shots a little better. It just felt smoother.
Well, that's the frame rate improvement that PC players have always talked about in the past. Like, how fast is the refresh rate, or how fast is the output for a refresh rate that allows certain PC players to have a distinct advantage over console players or other PC players, depending on the quality of their system, you know, how powerful their system is.
Right.
Yeah.
I was
going to finish up. Me and Jordan played Division together for a little bit. That was fun. It was interesting. It was very dark, very cloudy, very misty.
It was.
they need to work on that. It was a little too much. And then I played a good amount of Destruction All-Stars. That game is fun. Like, I've come down to, like, when I first saw it, the reason why I put it on my league list was because it felt a lot like the style of SSX. And playing the game, you get that same sense of, like, each character is unique. They have their own personality. In terms of how they implement the personality is a little strange. I have some issues with that.
Did you peep how, it's a small thing, but did you peep, like, when you go to each character in the, like, character menu? When you go to each character, they have the Destruction All-Stars theme playing in the background, but it shifts somewhat to match that character. So
you get the character doing something in the background. Yeah, it's really cool. Like, if they were to bring back SSX, I would want this team to, like,
work on that.
They definitely nail that kind of cool and, like, expressive style. Like, I really like that part. And even playing the game, like, I had a fine time with it. Like, it wasn't a bad experience. Like, that will be something that I can see myself going back to, like, time and time again. And because it's for, as far as I know, it's going to be, like, games of service kind of thing. Like, they can always build upon it. But
The
multiplayer is borked because there's no one playing it. And you can only, when you party up with people, you can only do multiplayer. You can't do arcade mode. So me and Jordan tried to play a match, but we literally just had to play separately because there was no one else online that we could play with.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Also, they have a lot of representation in that game, and I
absolutely love it. There is, like, all different types of people in that character list.
The first character I picked was Genesis, and I was like, oh, she's cool. And then, like, when you start, she's, like, double amputee. I'm just like, oh, shit, like, okay, that's dope. Like, I didn't even expect it. Like, they don't play it up or anything. It's just, like, that's just part of who she is.
Her special is speed, right? Like, she's one of the fastest out there.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
And then, so far, my favorite character is Harmony, which is the, like, plus-size character that she kind of gives me the vibes of, like, Beyonce. Yeah. So, like, I like her. And I like Hana, too, which I want to say that, like, that character, because it's not explicitly said, but I want to say that character is, like, half black, half Japanese.
Mm.
But, yeah, I really, really like the inclusion in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So, Jordan, you want to go, or do you want me to go?
You can go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty much in line with what DJ was saying. The games that I have played have been PlayStation 4 games outside of Destruction All-Stars, so it's really just kind of seeing the improvement and the shift from next gen, from last gen to next gen. I played several games with the crew, and I haven't been on, it's not been 2 weeks, I think it's just been 1 week, but within that span of time, I got the PS5, and then I've been playing co-op with the guys here and there. We played Division 2, we played Remnants of the Ash, and I'm sort of in a place as a gamer right now where I've split games into like three categories. There's games that I'm going to get for myself purely just to enjoy the experience, like your Last of Us, your God of Wars, like games that I'm really set on to like immerse myself in.
Yeah.
Then there's games that I'm getting for the podcast, like maybe I wouldn't get this, but we got to review stuff, so maybe I'll check it out and we'll see. And then there's games that I'm getting purely for the content and co-op. Like, and usually those games are free games under PS Plus. And I'm like, I probably wouldn't play this otherwise, but I'll get it like Remnants of the Ash. And I was like, I got this just for the content and the podcast. And it was fun. Like, I haven't touched that game since I played it with you guys, it was fun to play with you guys. Same thing with Division 2, where Division 2, even though I did play that a bit by myself when I got it for free on PlayStation Plus, it's fun running through the city just shooting niggas up with y'all. Like, I enjoy our time with that game, and playing it on PlayStation 5 just with kind of like the ray tracing and just everything feels a little more grand. The city feels a little bigger. I know you were talking about the weather being a bit distracting, but I kind of felt that that added to the cinematic quality of the game that was kind of missing on the PlayStation 4, at least for me. Whereas like with this, it really feels cinematic, which is pretty cool. But yeah, like overall, like I'm liking what I'm getting right now from the PlayStation 5. And I do like the DualSense controller as well. It feels good in the hand. It doesn't feel like a drastic departure from the DualShock controller, so everything still feels familiar while kind of just having a bit more of a hand feel to it. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing on that. I'll get into the last thing I was playing later, but I'll hand it off to Jordan.
Wait, real quick. The one thing I forgot about the controller. I at first, I was very, very, very down on the controller. I didn't like overall shape. After playing some Gundam matches with it, I'm okay with the controller. I like the weight of it now versus the PS4 controller. The only thing that I have to get used to, and it's kind of annoying, is the handles. I don't like how they kind of almost come down to like a weird point kind of thing.
Okay, I got what you mean.
For me, it slips out of my hand. So like I was literally playing Gundam, I died. And I was like, ah, crap. And I kind of like dropped my hands and the controller just slipped out of my hand. I was like, oh, fuck. So like, that's like,
I'm surprised it slips out of those big ass hands.
Me too. I was shocked. I was just like, how did this happen? This never happens. I don't drop anything. I can't. Physically impossible.
Oh, I did forget one thing before I do pass it off. I also got Ratchet & Clank for free on Ratchet & Clank 2016, which I think was tied in with a movie.
Yeah. It was basically the remake of Ratchet & Clank 1.
Okay. Yeah. And this is the first time I've ever played Ratchet & Clank properly.
I cannot.
That's like one of my top PlayStation franchises, Ratchet & Clank.
Cards that on was, the table, I was... Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the only mascot that made it through the PS2 phase. Like,
Cards on the table, I was a Jack and Daxter guy, and so I was playing the Jack and Daxter games, and I wasn't really interested in the Ratchet and Clank games.
Was it because Jack and Daxter was more edgy, I guess? Like,
no wonder he likes Last of Us. It all makes sense now.
Naughty Dog, nigga. No, it was just because I just got to Jack and Daxter first. And so I wasn't really that interested in Ratchet and Clank because I was already playing one mascot-styled game.
Right.
But playing this, it's fun. And
it is.
It looks... I was impressed, maybe just because of the capabilities of the PlayStation 5, but I was impressed with how good the game looks for a game that came out four years ago.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, and it's easy to kind of just jump into. The controls took a little getting used to, but now that I'm kind of in it, I'm just enjoying myself, and I'll probably be playing it until, you know, I finish it, and it has me even more excited for Rift Apart?
Yeah, Rift Apart, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The next one.
So, I will definitely be buying Rift Apart now.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the family, you know?
Happy to be here.
Yeah. I'm, what'd you say?
Oh, no, he just said happy to be here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm also very excited about the PS5 console. It's kind of interesting because I'm going between both the Xbox Series X and PS5 in my gaming experience now, and I'm seeing, like, two different expressions of fairly quality work. Like, I have the Xbox app, and I have the PlayStation app, and I'm able to see, like, the advantages and disadvantages of both. Same thing with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. But currently, when it comes to the quote-unquote full potential of these new consoles, they are requiring a certain HDMI output or TVs that have this specific HDMI output, and it is called the HDMI 2.1. Mm-hmm. And HDMI 2.1 allows you to have at least 120 frame hertz, at least in terms of refresh rate. And that will allow for both 4K at 60 and 120 frames per second. Now, currently, my Xbox Series X is occupying that port. But the only reason why is because I have more games that are actually playing at 120 frames per second on my Xbox Series X as opposed to the PlayStation currently. Mm-hmm. But both HDMI ports on my television have the capability of HDR and also auto HDR. So from the beginning, the setup compared to my Xbox Series X and PS5 were pretty much the same. I ran into, like, I think it was because my external hard drive was hooked up to my Xbox Series X during the installation upgrade process. There were updates to my Xbox Series X during the process, so I had to go through those, like those firmware updates mm-hmm. that occurred during the launch window. I don't know if current Xbox Series X's are encountering that, but like, remember, I got my Xbox Series X, you know, back in November
right.
versus where PlayStation is right now. So, so far, the experience on my PlayStation has been pretty interesting because one thing I've noticed is my television detected my PS5 in such a way that allows for my television remote control to control the PS5 home screen. So I'm able to navigate the UX interface with my TV controller.
So, just to mention that, because when you mentioned that to me before, I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, I wouldn't even think about, like, oh, I to pick up my remote and try that to see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of makes sense because part of the accessory suite is a PlayStation remote. So you might have just got lucky and that remote that you have is just automatically adapted for the PS5, or the PS5 can read that remote.
Yes, gotcha. Yes. Through some type of front, because like, I don't think it's connecting to it by red light or by, you know, the infrared.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's that way. I think it's interfaced through the television set. Mm. I think it's detecting what I'm doing through the television set.
Okay.
And mapping or detecting the map of my control, I guess, is the best way I can put it.
I should try the power remote and see.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, when I was playing with Donald, when I first started to play it, because I had to get all these fucking updates to all these games I haven't played in such a long time. It was basically updating my shit overnight.
Right.
And the first game I wanted to play was Division 2, because I put a whole bunch of hours in Division 2. And I knew that recently Division had that update in terms of both resolution and frame rate. But what had occurred was I was playing it through the extended hard drive. The hard drive, I have just a typical Seagate 7 terabyte hard drive that I wish I had for my Xbox. And now my PlayStation, I just have so many more games on my Xbox and my PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
But I was under the impression that I could not play games through the PS5 via my hard drive. But what I'm starting to notice is, like, that seems to be a case-by-case basis. Because when I was trying to play Division 2 through the hard drive, the world wasn't loading up properly. There were, you know, weird texture popping. So I'm like, all right, let me just move this shit over to the SSD.
Right.
I moved it over, and it looks great. It looks amazing. One thing that had occurred when the update happened was the Series X version had a quote-unquote ambient clouds and the vapor and stuff like that, what a PS5 didn't. They added it to the PS5 later, and it looks great, but I do understand, like, holy shit, this is foggy as fuck. Yeah. Like, this is, I can't see 2 feet in front of me.
This shit went from Division 2 to the mist. It's just,
yeah,
like,
yeah. In reality, I'm like, well, there's been nights like that, like, in real life that have been that foggy, so, like, clearly they're trying to go for something.
I mean, especially in swampy-ass
DC.
DC.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the two-factor identification. Thank God, because remember that time when my shit was stolen and someone had the audacity to purchase The Last of Us 2?
Jordan, it was me.
I know it was you. Someone purchased Last of Us 2 and Miles Morales, you know, doing my ass a solid. I'm like, what the fuck? I was so pissed. But hats off the PlayStation, because no one, I didn't even fucking launch those shits. Yeah. So they're like, all right, we're going to refund your junk. But I'm glad they're taking two-factor authentication. But I will say this, the code thing was a little bit different.
I just imagine someone got into Jordan's account and they were like, this man doesn't have Last of Us or Spider.
What is the only?
I'm going to pay for these games. I'm going to do this man.
I got him.
This man clearly needs some good games in his life.
I like, get this shit out of here. I was so pissed. I traveled back home. My parents' place to make that shit went through. the one thing I will say. In terms of Xbox, it was a more seamless transition because you just all the hard drives are formatted. The cloud saves are like everything was boom, 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 like just right, instant. Right. Like type in your shit, all your settings are here, all your groupings are here, even your home page is here. But I do see like the appreciation towards PlayStation and like, okay, this is a brand new integrated experience. We're bringing you up to this new generation of consoles. So like, as I said before, there are advantages and disadvantages to both. But yeah,
thing too, before you, for setting up the PlayStation, I really like the fact that if you had the app on your phone, you can just scan the QR code. Like I was just like, oh, fucking Sony, like you're in the future now. Oh my gosh. Like, thank you.
Yeah. Like that same technology was used during the Xbox installation also.
Oh,
the
really?
Xbox also was done by QR code wanted to do that way. So clearly that's like the new thing in terms of signing into devices.
Yeah.
I like it. The controller feels great. A pretty awesome presentation via Astro's Playroom. I was about to yeet it off my hard drive. I was like, get out of here. Yo, I don't care.
When I was installing my PS5, I saw a pop-up. I was like, I didn't ask for this. Like, what? Like, but I already played it from Sean's.
It was like that U2 album that showed up on everybody's iPod.
Mm-hmm, the furniture. I was about to yeet that little stupid robot out of here. I'm kick it out. Like, get out of here. I need this shit. But I am very, very, very excited to play God of War finally in 4K. With the sound system I got, like the sound system I got fucking rocks with Destiny.
Okay.
To be in for a treat.
Yep.
I'm just glad that my next door neighbors are moving because it's about to be loud as a motherfucker. Like, what's going on, boy? Like, is there a song getting killed over there? What was that child crying? What's going on?
The husband says to the wife, he's single, right? And she's like, yeah, I believe so. Boy. I keep hearing boy and like yelling and then like slashing. Do we call the cops?
I don't know if the cops can stop that, man. He sounds vicious.
But yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. It's a proper God of War experience via 4K, which I'm really excited about because I know y'all love that game and I'm pretty sure I'm going to like it myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I look forward to hearing your thoughts on it. And the last thing before we go forward is I called myself the Drift King earlier. And that is because... over the weekend, I was with some of my previous coworkers at Podcast Village, who I still keep in touch with.
Cool.
And we ended up playing Mario Kart 8 on the Switch.
Nice.
Wow.
And I haven't played Mario Kart in a while.
This is not where I thought this was going, by the way. Continue.
I thought it was Destruction All-Stars.
No. I thought he was chilling with his podcast people, and he actually drifted a car.
Boy.
I had these ready.
If you hear me, let me go. Right? Press Infinity Lovers. Tick.
I'm sorry to disappoint, but no, it was just me getting my skills back in Mario Kart 8. It was like riding a bike, and I was spanking that ass.
Wow,
won back-to-back.
Hey.
It was great.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, that's why I'm the Drift King, because I got Toadette in these streets.
Oh, Toadette, not Bowsette.
Nah, Toadette drifting with her mushroom pigtails clapping cheeks.
For all the skill that I've amassed through my years of playing games, none of it converts over to Mario Kart. Like, I am so trash at that game. Like, it saddens me.
Now, Smash Brothers, too. Just like Smash Brothers is also like its own.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I will always be trash at Smash Brothers. I will forever be bad.
Yeah, I feel like with Smash. Well, actually, probably with Mario Kart and Smash, it's just those are types of games where you either got it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You
just give me Gandalf and the power forward B. Gandalf forward B. Yeah. Forward B.
Captain Ganon.
Right.
Yes. Forward B. Forward B. Or a robot. But his 4B is pretty...
Oh, Rob, yeah.
Rob's.
Got you. But yeah, so that is what we've been playing slash our first impressions of the PlayStation 5. And before we go any further, first off, we want to let you guys know that we are back in the DC Web Fest for the second year in a row. This is the 9th edition of the DC Web Fest. And we are in the digital expression category. So your boys are up against short films and web series. It's not other podcasts. We're up against other media, which means, you know, if we take it, I mean, I'm just saying, we the best in the DMV.
Technically,
that's all I'm saying.
No, you're right. Oh, we already the best in DMV. Like,
I mean, you're right, because we the only podcast on the list this year.
Exactly. But technically, every episode of the Press X Star podcast is a web series.
I mean, part of it is now, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Because we also go by seasons.
Exactly.
So technically, we are a series.
We did it.
We're a long-running series, in fact.
Maybe we should tell them that we're actually a podcast and not a web series. Maybe that's why they put us in the web series category.
You're making it hot. Shut up.
All right.
So, yeah, thank you to the DC Web Fest. We are honored to be here again, and we look forward to our back-to-back bronzes.
We're going to do better this year. I guarantee it.
Okay. And with that, we have a word from our sponsors, PressXToStart.com. Please check out our WandaVision review, which is exclusively on our IG and our YouTube channel. We need them views, people. And also subscribe, because we could use that. And DJ will tell you to subscribe later, but subscribe. Thank you.
Oh my God, I was holding my breath. That was hard.
Hey there, enjoying the episode? Want to hear more? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have subscribed, great. Spread the word. Tell everybody. To follow us on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube now at PressX2StartTV. And if you've done all of this already, well done.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits.
Number one, this comes from CNET.
John CNET?
I didn't see that. PlayStation 5 is now the fastest selling console in US history, NPD says. So there's a few caveats for this. It's the fastest selling console right now. It's not the best selling console. That belongs to Switch. It's actually the number two best selling console right now, I believe. But congratulations. Good job. They're doing the thing. And then again, also the other caveat is that not a lot of these consoles, but a portion of these
scalpers.
Consoles, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Word. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, PS5's market share in the video game market will continue to be strong. Like, it's kind of hard to fuck up any type of games they had this last console generation. So it's going to transpose that. And yeah, no, it makes sense for the PS5 to be the best selling console right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this comes from IGN. Square Enix presents Digital Showcase announced. It will include a reveal of the new Life of Strange game.
Which is the only thing here worth anything.
What? You mean you're not excited for Balan the Wonder World?
Boy, if you don't.
What else is on this list? Like Marvel's Avengers and...
Outriders.
Terminator.
Outriders.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's another Outriders story coming up, too.
Yeah. So, more about this Square Enix Presents. It will be airing March 18th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So, and it's going to be on Twitch and YouTube. So check it out. The list that they've actually put on their announcement is Outriders, Blonde Wonderland, the ongoing celebration of the 25th anniversary of Tomb Raider, Marvel's Avengers, Just Cause Mobile, new mobile game announcements from the award-winning Square Enix Montreal Studios, and then a look at a few of the whimsical games from Square Enix sister company, Taito. Never heard of them, but...
Exactly like I said earlier.
Yeah.
The only game here worth anything is the Life of Strange reveal.
Has the, I'm so out of the loop when it comes to Marvel's Avengers, but has the Kate Bishop DLC come out already? Or
yeah, it came out.
I wonder if they're going to have any announcements of future people in this showcase in Marvel.
I think...
Do they pull a full Black Panther? Like, if they include Black Panther, I'm coming back.
No, the rumor is that, or at least the leak was that the next character they're going to launch is Spider-Man. It might not be now, but then that's supposed to be the next character, and Black Panther is not on the table yet, apparently.
I'm surprised it took them this long to bring Spider-Man.
Well, because they had to fix their game, complete the game they were making the first time.
Of course. But I'm surprised they didn't just, like, drop it while the game was still janky.
Right.
Nah.
If only Spider-Man could have rock abilities like in Outriders. Speaking of Outriders, number 3, this comes from Forbes. Wait, Outriders is launching on Xbox Game Pass? Well, maybe. Xbox had leaked a cheeky email from Melissa McGamePass, which is an awesome name. Seems like a fake name. And in the email...
probably the email associated with the actual Game Pass Twitter, maybe.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Mm-hmm. But in the email, there contains a important line that reads, "Has anyone noticed a mysterious signal appearing in the distance lately, or am I the anomaly in the situation?" In that sentence, there are two words in there that, you know, getting everyone a buzz and having people connect this with Outriders, which is the anomaly and mysterious signal. So mysterious signal was part of the marketing Twitter messaging that was happening with Outriders. And the anomaly is the actual thing that changes your main character from a normal person to like a superpowered Outrider, essentially. So more than likely, Outriders will be coming in the Game Pass. And that's actually exactly what Outriders needs to succeed. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Game Pass saves games.
Yeah.
Like, it's very clear that especially when it comes to games as a service games, like, a lot of that is based on, like, the microtransaction system.
Right.
But at the same time, if you can expand your usership by eliminating a certain portion at the beginning of the purchase,
yeah,
your game's going to be all right. So yeah.
Jesus saves and Game Pass does too.
Oh, yeah.
My only question is, I wonder if that's going to be an exclusive thing to Game Pass, or if they're going to try to do the same thing for PlayStation Plus on Sony's side.
Well, I mean, like, it's up to the developer.
It is up,
you know,
to
it's up to the developer. And I don't know, because you have Xbox Gold, Game Pass, PlayStation Now, and PlayStation Plus.
Right.
So it's kind of like, where does the developer want to go? But now developers, like, really want to get their shit out there. They're getting it through Game Pass.
Yeah.
And they really want to get their shit out there.
Speaking of getting their shit out there, number 4, this comes from Polygon. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting a new retro beat-em-up game. So, publisher Dotemu and game developer Tribal Games, which is the creator of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game.
It's tribute, by the way.
Is it tribute? Oh. Revealed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and is described as a classically informed side-scroller beat-em-up directly inspired by classic TMNT games. I watched a trailer to this, and it looks very much so like classic arcade TMNT game. So awesome.
I mean, off the strength of the fact that it's tribute and the Scott Pilgrim versus the World beat 'em up or side scroller is great.
Yeah.
The tribute and so, do Street Fighter? They did a Street Fighter, right?
I don't think so.
You mean Streets of Rage?
Streets of Rage.
I don't know if they did that.
No, they didn't. Yeah. Okay. They didn't do that. Okay. But their Scott Pilgrim game was fantastic.
Yeah, that was
so
great. Okay.
If anybody was gonna recapture that magic of the old Ninja Turtle beat-em-ups, it'd be them.
Right. Speaking of recapturing magic, number 5, this comes from GameStop. The Division 2 will add mode that's entirely new to the franchise in 2021. So they put this blog post out, and in the blog post they mentioned that they're going to have this new mode. They didn't really detail anything on the mode, so we don't know what it is. But on top of that, they actually put out stats for the game. And the stats are actually really interesting. So one of the stats is one agent revived more than 27,000 agents. And I'm just like, that guy's a mercy.
Heroes never die.
Right. just flying around the battlefield.
Right. I got you. Don't worry, buddy. 20 billion items have been looted. And then I said half of them were kid socks because I always get kid socks for some strange reason.
Hey, kids need socks.
Yeah, apparently.
There are no kids in this world.
That's why there's just socks. There's no kids to fit the socks. 156 billion shots were headshots.
Oh.
I like to say that I contributed a lot to that one, you know.
No, you didn't.
And number four, 97 million floors completed in the summit since September, and that's more than the distance to the moon.
Oh, wow.
So the summit is their, like, I can't think of the word. It's basically like...
It's like tower mode.
Each
level you go to, you get more and more loot. I think you only have access to the summit mode if you bought the Gangs of the Warlords of New York expansion.
Gotcha.
Then you can get the tower mode. But I have the Warlord New York thing, but I have it in tower mode because they said you shouldn't do it by yourself. It's too crazy and too hard. It's basically a perpetual raid.
Oh, I see. All right. And the last quick hit comes from DualShockers. Elden Ring March reveal canceled after trailer leak. Release date when? So basically, what happened is there was leaked about the Elden Ring reveal coming in March, but because it was a leak, everyone essentially started speculating, oh, what we're going to see in the reveal, The reveal was never confirmed, and now we find out that a reveal is not happening in March. Because they weren't planning on releasing a reveal in March, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. So that's basically that.
One thing I do want to say, though, is last week's quick hit about the fact that people actually took Jason Schreier at his word when he made that joke about the game getting canceled. And the fact that somebody actually made a full article about this lets me know that journalism is a joke.
Everyone's always in a rush to put the thing out first, and I think that's where it just bites people in the butt when it's just when it comes back around, just like,
trying to get those clicks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I have no Elden Ring. Is that From Software thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a From Software game that's a collaboration with George R. R. Martin.
Ah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So. That's been it for the quick hits, and we're going to go into our one and only heavy hitter. Take it away, Jordan.
Well, if you were living under a rock, you probably would have not heard of this substantial purchase that occurred last year. Mm-hmm. Now, why are we talking about it again? It's because both the European Commission, which is basically the Security and Exchange Commission of the European Union, and also the American Security and Exchange Commission, which is ironic that they kind of relied on those two entities to say whether or not this is legal. Like, there's other commissions in the world, but they're like, all right, what do Europeans say? What do the Americans say? Okay, we're good here. But yeah, $7.5 billion of money was used.
Money.
Not Bitcoin. If it was Bitcoin, probably Bitcoin, like $700 billion or something like that. But Microsoft purchased... Or they said they were going to purchase Bethesda September last year, prior to the announcement of the Xbox Series X release date. And recently, they signed on a dotted line, and it is true. Now, Bethesda is a part of Microsoft.
Yep.
But in lieu of that, like during that time between the announcement of the Bethesda purchase and now, was the question of whether or not these games are going to be exclusive, be it the current ones that are among us, you know, the Fallouts, the Dooms, the Wolfensteins, all that are multi-platform currently. So it was pretty funny. Over the course of the week, there was the initial statement that, you know, like, we're excited to bring these games to the Xbox ecosystem and some future games be multi-platform. And then once people heard that, some, they're like, oh, well, maybe Starfield will, and possibly Doom. And, you know, I'm like, oh, like, nope. Fucking grabbing at all the straws. So fucking Phil Spencer was literally down the street from us. If I had known, I would have been scouting out Rockville to give that man a hug. Because they said an announcement here in Maryland, because Bethesda, and DJ knows this, Bethesda is in Rockville. His former employer that, you know, kicked him off for tomfoolery in the staff cafeteria.
I don't even know a Tom.
But it was an elaborate announcement. Todd Howard was there. One of the lead marketing executives for the Bethesda was there, and marketing executive for Xbox was there. But also one specific person that I'll talk about more in detail later, Sarah Bond, who was the vice president of partnerships in the Xbox ecosystem, black woman, was a chief facilitator of that conversation. And it was pretty interesting. Like, you know, Phil Spencer was talking about how Xbox and Bethesda Games had a prior relationship, you know, with the older Elder Scrolls games. I think Morrowind was on the original Xbox only, and how Bethesda, over the course of time, at least like the last two decades, was always consulting Xbox for how to port games from PC or like get their understanding. And they're saying that that may have shed a light on why Bethesda games kind of performed not as well on Sony platforms and compared to Xbox platforms because of how used to Bethesda games was with Xbox's system.
Yeah, so let me just jump on that because just pulling back from my time as a tester at Xbox, Jesus,
at Bethesda.
It did feel like I was walking into a Xbox studio. And mind you, this was back in like 2010 or whatever. Like they, even the people like that I met, I talked to, I like, became friends with, a lot of them are Xbox like players and some of them are Xbox exclusive players. And it's just like, yeah, this makes sense that Bethesda would become a Xbox first party studio.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a great fit for them. And I'm so happy for those people because it's one of those things where, like, at least for me, when I see Bethesda, I think Xbox, and they actually finally made that marriage, and it's just like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then it also creates a support structure for the studio and for the people that work there. So it's just like, that's awesome. That's great.
It's like watching two people talk about dating for a long time, and then they finally consummate.
Right. In front of everyone.
I want to hammer that home because during the conversation, Todd Howard was talking about, you know, a Fallout 76. Like, yeah, we pushed out a product that we did not truly like, but it was because of the relationship of their primary entity being ZeniMax.
Yeah.
And that goes into a lot of these publishers are hood adjacent when it comes to venture capitalism. And you will have those companies that are like, all right, we're not going to put in all the money into testing and bugging and stuff like that at video games. We need this game to come out because it's part of this portfolio and needs to conclude by this quarter. And they start working, you know, developers to the bone. But Xbox is saying, like, no, we have infinite money. And once again, I looked it up this week. Microsoft is valued at $1.8 trillion.
My God.
$1 trillion.
Let me get like 20.
Let me hold like.
For perspective, Sony is at like between $80 and $120 billion. Like that is the perspective that we're dealing with.
They can give me $20 too.
Right. Hey, cover my PS Plus for a year, please. Thanks.
Right. Jesus.
So what is happening is Xbox is slowly reorienting themselves to this, and like this goes into this Game Pass situation. I'm just gonna go off what Phil Spencer said. Phil Spencer said, this is about delivering great exclusive games for you Xbox customers that ship on platforms where Game Pass exists.
Yep.
Game Pass exists on the Xbox Series S and S, on the computer, on smart TVs, and on the telephone, on your phones. It exists in four different places.
Yep.
And the leader of Game Pass is a black woman.
Hell yeah.
Sarah Bond is the creator. Based on what I'm seeing in terms of her LinkedIn, she's been with the organization with Xbox for quite some time. Game Pass became a thing back in 2017. So Game Pass is about to be 4 years old this year. And this partnership, this Bethesda deal, is in service of Game Pass. Like, this is how you bring people to that product. So, you know, literally last night, they're like, all right, all the Bethesda games is on Game Pass now. Fallout 4, 76, many Dooms.
Yeah, like Doom 94. I was like, all right.
Doom 64, Doom 3, Doom 2, then the Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, all there. Dishonored, I haven't played that. I want to play Dishonored. Both 1 and 2 are there.
Play Dishonored. Dishonored is such a great game.
Yeah, I really want to play it. Also, Prey. Yeah, I wanted to play it on Prey is on there. So it's like Xbox is... It's like a little snowball at the top of the mountain right now in terms of Game Pass. It just keeps on growing and growing and growing in terms of momentum. And, you know, if you are an Xbox consumer right now, the future is bright. The future is bright in terms of what you're getting in terms of value. My problem as an Xbox customer is that I do not have enough space. I do not have enough storage for all these games I'm trying to... I have over 147 applications downloaded, and my Xbox says, well, actually, you have access to 200 applications. Which one do you want to download first? So it's like, you know, this Bethesda's purchase, which, you know, in my opinion, has already been paid for.
Yeah.
Because there's currently 18... Well, by last reporting being January, there were 18 million Game Pass customers. And that appreciated a million a month since October. October is 15 million. So it was like, you know, it just continues to grow. Halo Infinite's about to come out. And it seems like Halo Infinite is going to have a games as a service battle royale component to it play off of Game Pass. So I think what happened when Phil Spencer took over... Because remember, Xbox is about to fail. Last generation, Xbox was this close to failing.
Oh, yeah. They took a fat ale last generation.
And when Phil Spencer became president, what he probably did was, as a gamer, because he clearly is a gamer, he went to the Xbox, went to Microsoft heads, like, here's the plan. This is what we're going to do. We are going to be focused on the games, and we're going to have revolutionary things that are inevitable, but we want to make sure we're first at bat.
Right.
The same thing with Netflix and streaming. The same thing with Xbox Game Pass. They laughed them out the door of Netflix. So you can't, you know, have a mail service when it comes to movies. You know, you can't have streaming movies. Like, people still want to go to the movie theaters. No one's going to watch a Justice League at home or King Kong at home. Like, no one's going to do that.
I think COVID was like, what up, boy?
Right.
So, yeah, like this Bethesda purchase, and remember, this was whispers last fall, Phil Spencer went on record saying, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
Like, there are other publishers and developers down the pike that they are going to purchase. And my fingers crossed for Sega, keep those Yakuza's on there, because I want my Yakuza fix, and I'm good. So, you know... Yeah, my Microsoft is dangerous, is the best way I can put it. Like, they're serious this time around.
Yeah.
It sure does feel like it.
It's been very interesting to watch them in this particular generation read the tea leaves so effectively. Kind of like in the way that Sony did last generation. You know, where the reason they won so definitively last generation is because they saw their last generation were like, we're never having this happen again. And then they came out swinging.
Right.
And that's what Microsoft seems to be doing now. And the competition is good. It has me excited when we get the next generation, if they actually continue to inform and better each other, the next generation that we get could be one of the greatest gaming generations of all time for both consoles. But for now, Microsoft is really interesting.
What I'm most excited about is how equitable Microsoft is in terms of user base. Because you don't need a Series X to enjoy an Xbox enhanced game. I mean, like, you can have a Series S for $300.
Right.
I mean, of course, the SSDs and stuff like that, the 1 terabyte SSD would put you at like 219, which is basically the price of a Series X. But you do have that true 1 terabyte amount plus CMOS storage you have on your Series S. But even so, you don't need to have a fucking console at all.
That's
to
true. Yeah,
enjoy true. These, to be a part of, quote unquote, the Xbox ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's way more fair.
Yeah.
All things considered, it is what you'd want games to be. I mean, like, cause how much more money are they making off of a Game Pass subscriber versus a holistic Xbox Series X owner? Because you buy your Xbox Series X, and that's pretty much it in terms of the purchase. Like, they can buy the other games associated with it, and Microsoft will get a percentage portion off of each game purchase. But when it comes to Game Pass, these people are buying your subscription every month for the entire year.
Right.
Not even thinking about it. It becomes a utility.
And the thing is, with Game Pass, you don't have to worry about actually building the physical thing, because
it's just a service.
Whereas like Xbox and even PlayStation, like, you have to worry about having the chipset, making sure that you have enough supply for, making sure that you can ship the thing out properly, and then have to get your money back. Like, for me, in all of this, I love how dominating of a force this Game Pass is becoming, because this does two things in my mind. One, it completely spits in the face of Jim Ryan talking about when he said that, the Game Pass is, you can't make any money off it or some bullshit. And like,
No, it was, I don't think it was Jim Ryan that said that. Jim Ryan was like, I attribute him with the Generations bullshit. It was a dude that did A Way Out, whatever that game was. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the guy that said, fuck the Oscars.
Yeah, I forget.
He was literally on a podcast with Major Nelson. Like, he was talking to Major Nelson.
That's where that happened.
And I gotta watch that shit. Ooh. But he was off the cuff too, because Major Nelson does a PG podcast. Like, he doesn't curse at all.
Yeah.
So he had a little beat button ready to go. But A Way Out, it's been successful being on Game Pass. And also, people are excited about the game that developer is making next after A Way Out.
I'm excited too. It's on my list.
That's why he was on Major Nelson. For those who don't know, Major Nelson's like one of the main spokespeople of Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was on there talking about their game, which I imagine is about to be on Game Pass. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah.
Saying that Game Pass can't make him money.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, Jim Ryan needs to adjust his view.
Well, I would like to formally announce an apology to Jim Ryan for not saying those things. if you can accept my apology, please send me a PlayStation Plus gift card. Thank you. the second thing is, I hope this puts Sony in a place where they feel like they are second place. And they feel like they have to now adjust.
Innovate.
And innovate, yes. Because looking at the PS4, like, it was a great console. It had a lot of good games, and it was present there, and it was powerful there. But in terms of the service, I think it was very much so lacking. And I think, as I said a bunch of times, the next generation is going to be about services, not necessarily about games. And we are seeing that happen right now. Like, Xbox is making a play where they have studios lined up to make their exclusive titles, but they're also capturing other studios that can bring in more titles to their overall ecosystem.
Well, like, other publishers.
Yes, publishers.
Remember,
yeah,
like, EA Play is partnered. Like, if you have an Xbox Live Game Pass Ultimate account, you have EA Play.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, like, developers, like The Initiative, the developers of Psychonauts, like, they brought them in, like...
Oh, Double Fine?
Double Fine, yeah, yeah. So, like, they have stuff coming down the line where it's just, like, those are going to be, like, the heavy hitters. And then they're also bringing in more studios. So it's just, like, they're building an ecosystem. And
they're saying that those games that are made first party will be available on Game Pass day one.
Exactly.
Which is incredible. I don't got to pay $60 for Starfield and the next Doom. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So like,
that's going to be crazy.
I want to see how Sony's going to adjust to this and what they're going to do.
And that's what I meant when I was saying that, like, just with the way that Microsoft is reading the tea leaves in the same way that Sony did last generation, I'm hoping in agreement with you that Sony is able to take this situation, even though they're not getting destroyed or anything,
no, but
able to take the situation and make choices informed by what Microsoft is doing so well right now, instead of just like standing firm like a tree, you know, keep doing what they do well, which is first party exclusives and whatnot, but grow and adapt so that everybody can have the best experience possible.
I truly hope that PlayStation Collection is not the answer. I hope that's not the answer. I hope that PlayStation Now is able to evolve or able to communicate something more with PlayStation Now. But at the same time, Xbox is threatening in a way because of the bidding part of things. Like, there are times to which, I mean, like, Xbox isn't stupid. Like, they're not going to spend money all willy-nilly. Like, they were in a position to buy Gearbox as opposed to the other publisher. Like they were in talks to do it, but, you know, they were saying, okay, the Gearbox is asking for too much money. We'll move on to the next one. But when it comes to a true bidding war, you know, when it comes to a Sega, when it comes to a Konami, you know, when it comes to a larger publisher, like, it's all about whether or not PlayStation can compete in that realm. Because it's like Xbox was saying that our main competition was Google and Amazon, which have the financial capital to buy large publishers who have an umbrella of smaller developers.
Right.
So, well, like, say single developers like Insomniac and Naughty Dog, PlayStation does not have any issue buying those type of developers. But when it comes to, like, those larger publishers, that's where, you know, it's like, that's...
It's huge.
It's hard to understand the money being
it's passed. Like Warner Brothers trying to square up with Disney, where Disney has just full-on buying power. Right. Like, I can consume your entire life library.
Yeah, it's... We've never seen something like this happen where a console publisher, whatever, maker, literally buys an entire publisher. Like, that's not something that we're accustomed to. So, like, this is just, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the SEC and the European Commission would have been more apprehensive towards an EA-Ubisoft merger because of where they were in the video game pipeline in terms of creation. I think the only reason why they, like, at least based on what I was seeing, was that the only reason why that they allowed for the Xbox merger to go through is because the Xbox is still in that electronic consumer space.
Mm.
Like, they're like, okay, Microsoft is turning Bethesda into another subsidiary.
Right.
It's not like a, you know, one-to-one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know. I might play some Fallout 4 or whatever tickles my fancy
Dishonored,
tonight.
Dishonored. You have to play Dishonored.
I'll go on and download Dishonored right now.
I may or may not be pushing that game because I tested it, but it's a really, really good game. And it's...
Yeah.
He's trying to get back in them good graces.
and as a final point, yeah, Microsoft still having black folks in the forefront. This was a huge roundtable announcement. A lot of people were tuning into it, and straight up black woman just being the main facilitator. Absolutely. And was possibly one of the key figures that secured that partnership. And because she is vice president of ecosystem and partnerships.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So that means she allowed that $7.6 billion go through. That shit was crazy, man. Yep.
Big kudos to Microsoft for that, for sure.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where we've all just complained and we've all just been upset at the lack of diversity, one, and then also the lack of voice that we have in the industry in terms of, we might get into the industry, but we're not big players. Like, when I say we, I mean people of color. We're not big players in the industry. Whereas, like, looking at Sarah, she's representing so much and she's also succeeding. And it's just like, yes, absolutely. Like, she's going to be a fucking icon.
Yeah, she's going to be a figure that kicks those doors down.
Right.
But take us home, DJ.
Speaking of kicking doors down, this has been another episode of Press X to Start Podcast, the award-winning Press X to Start Podcast, and maybe the award-winning Press X to Start Podcast.
That's true. We might be double award-winning.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Double fisting? Not double.
Okay, you killed it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making. Don't forget to rate reviews on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit counts. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube and IG channel.
We're still trying to get to that 100 subscribers on our YouTube page. So
No. We're trying to, we're trying to get to 100 subscribers on our YouTube page, and we're trying to get to 300 on our IG. We're like three away. So
yeah,
if you have to like steal like one of your friend's phones, just to, like do it, just give it back to them, of course, but do it.
I mean, hey, if we got any bots listening, I mean, you know, we'll take
them.
You'd be like that person that stole my PlayStation account and uploaded two games that I did not even want ever.
Jordan, I said that was me.
I was like, get this shit off. Almost eating my whole console out of my house.
Well, with that being said, this has been us, and we are out.
Uno out.
Gundam time.